Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Mark chapter 5, verse 1. We are reading from one of the great miracles that Jesus did. This one, it doesn't seem to many may not see their use for them individually, but it is, I believe, one of the most critical miracles we need in these days and in these times. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Some people are possessed. You must know it for a fact. Are you here this morning? Yeah. There must be no question in your mind that some people are not correct. And some of you, they are your friends. You have somebody in your life who is not correct. How do I know? You have a feeling when the guy comes or when you go that something is not right. Or a certain friend, when he comes to you, always you do sin together. You mind me again. It's okay. Certain friends, whenever you are together, the conversation, the discussion, the talking is never Christian or positive. It is borderline bad. It's bad. Well, not minding me. It's okay. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. I will come to this one. Because some people, you are uncontrollable. Rich. I have a dog. I have two dogs. I have three dogs. One of them doesn't listen. You must hold him and you must drag him. And the other one, when you talk, she will listen. And she will obey. But he, no. You must make him. Ask anybody, are you controllable? Control means a word spoken is enough. That's control. When you have a remote control and you press it on to put the TV on, how many times do you press? To put the TV off, how many times do you press? To change the volume, how many times do you press? How come we must talk 5 times before you obey? How come we must ask you several times, come to church, come to church, come to church? On the 17th time, then you show up one. I'll continue. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Mark verse 5. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Mark verse 6. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, I beg thee, by God, that thou torment me not." For he had said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Okay, I'll come here. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Demons have homes and areas where they live. And that is why some places when you go, you will find that you will not do well. And some places when you go, that is your future prosperity. Now there was nigh there unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. That's a lot. And they were choked in the sea. Verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, Mark verse 15, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. I mean, afraid, amazed, surprised, shocked, all those, the whole spectrum of emotions. They couldn't believe that you would know you. You are the madman in the area. Now you are sitting here, correct. Something is wrong because this is not how we know you. And when they saw it, they told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. This is the surprising part, that some people don't want Jesus. This is the surprising part. Yeah. I mean, some of you have friends who don't want anything to do with church. And you think that it is okay. It's a devilish thing. Oh, it's a devilish thing. You don't want Jesus. Then what do you want? You find them happily going to disco, nightclub, every kind of evil place. That one they like. That should give you an idea of what you are dealing with. Are you here this morning? And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, that's the crazy man, prayed that he might be with him. I want to be with you, Jesus. Ask your neighbor, how come you don't feel like I want to go to church? No, ask your neighbor. I mean, you never, do you miss, no, please tap your neighbor and ask him, do you miss church? Like, I miss church. I wish today was Saturday, so tomorrow is Sunday, then I'm going to church. Is that how you feel? I don't think so. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not and said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. Hallelujah. Amen. Three things I want us to note this morning. There are many, many more. We may continue next week. But three things I want us to note this week. Number one, verse six. And it says, this madman, when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshipped him. It's amazing that the man who had legion, 7,000 demons inside him, desired. When he saw Jesus, he came and he came to worship. Amen. I want to announce to you this morning, maybe here, but maybe not here, but somewhere in many other churches, there are many people who are demon-possessed who are sitting happily in their congregation. Amen. One day, a certain young man who was into witchcraft and had come out, he came to give a testimony. And he said, he and his friends who are witches, they have tokens, amulets, or some kind of a token. spiritual or physical, that they keep for their witchcraft. And he said, they go to church. They go to church. And he said, what they'll do is, when they are going to the church, at the gate, they'll leave it there. They'll leave their amulets, their tokens at the gate, then come into the church, and then sit down in the service nicely. Then when they are going home, they collect it and take it home again. So please ask him about which one are you? Which one are you? Because I'm serious. I'm not smiling. Because when you come here in church Sunday morning, you're looking like a lady. Polite, correct. But during the week, you are a witch. When the week starts, you start talking in a certain way. You are able to say things that Sunday, that a Christian cannot say. You mind me again, it's okay. Yeah, Sunday morning, you are sitting here polite, cool, gentle. But let the week start. Let the week start. Then you find how you can retort. When they ask, you say, Kwasiasem. I mean, you say the feeling with passion. Kwasiasem. I mean, no, I know things. Because it's a witchcraft. It's a spirit. Yeah. Then they look at you. Then they look at you. Some kind of eye be that. But in church on Sunday, you are correct. You are correct. You look decent. You look correct. But there is something, you see, this morning, I want to show you certain things that you have to deal with. Amen. Amen. Because some of you know that as you are sitting here, you are fine. But as you get back to your houses and your room, certain desires rise up inside you. You don't, I mean, right now that we are here, no girl, no boy attracts you. But when you get back into your circumstances, then you find that certain things are now pulling you. You find yourself watching things you know you shouldn't watch. But you can't. One guy told me that one day he said, I won't watch pornography. One day. One night. He said, I won't watch. Because I had harassed him. He said, okay, I've stopped. I won't watch. So he was there. 8 o'clock, I won't watch. 9 o'clock, I won't watch. 10 o'clock, I won't watch. And he said he was wide awake. He couldn't sleep. 11 o'clock, he was awake, lying down. Eyes open, I won't watch. 12 o'clock, midnight, I won't watch. 1 o'clock, I won't watch. 2 o'clock, 2:30, he got up and watched. Because he couldn't sleep. He was wide awake. He said he was the computer. The laptop was calling him. Hello? Come, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. He said, oh, don't worry, I'm patiently here waiting for you. He said he was wide awake until about 2:30. Then he just got up and just pressed enter. And he watched. Amen. There, Mark chapter 1, verse 23. While Jesus was in the synagogue, a man was there. Where? Who had an evil spirit inside him. In the time of Jesus. How much more in these times when Jesus is not here? The anointing here is much lower. So the wizards have much more freedom. Yeah. A man was there who had an evil spirit inside him. I want you to, you see, what I'm saying this morning is a double-edged sword. Are you listening? One is, check yourself. Check yourself. If you find any untoward behavior, any certain, like, I'm a Christian, but once in a while, certain things arise inside me. Don't say it's just is nature. It's not. It's a witch or a wizard or a demon or a spirit inside you. You mind me again, but it doesn't matter. I didn't come to preach for you. Yeah. And the second thing is somebody else who may claim to be a church goer member, something may not be pure, may not be clean. That's why I would advise you, those who want to get married, do not propose on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, all the witches and wizards are also in church. Come on Friday prayer meeting. They never come to prayer meeting. No. They don't come to prayer meeting. So on Friday prayer meeting, come there and propose. Those who are there are the correct ones. But for Sunday, there you can't guarantee. Tell the back, please, I can't guarantee you are correct. Tell, I can't guarantee. I suspect, I think you may be correct, but I can't guarantee. For that reason, I tell you, I promise you, I will never marry you Sunday morning. No, don't propose now. Forget it. Amen. It's a reality. We have so many, you know, listen, we have so many in our churches who they are not consistent. They are not stable. They are, ask me about, can you not do your quiet time every morning? Why can you not? You can brush your teeth almost every day. You can bath almost every day. You can eat almost every day. Why can you not do your quiet time and Bible reading and prayer almost every day like that? How come that one day you can skip for days and you are okay? How come that one Bible reading, prayer, you can, and not that you are busy from morning to night. There are free periods inside when you are lying down doing nothing. You are lying down doing nothing. You are just there, resting, reading. I'm tired. But you cannot squeeze in a bit of God in those times. No. I don't know why you're quiet this morning, but it's okay. This morning, I want you to look carefully and try and see patterns. If there's any such pattern in your life or in somebody you know, that this guy, Sunday we are here, but during the week or during the other days, he doesn't behave Christian-like. Or even somebody who is, let me use the phrase, regularly irregular. No, it's somebody who is, you see, everybody once in a while, you will miss a service. Now and then I cannot, that's how it is. We all travel, we have obligations elsewhere. We are not from here. You go home. Everybody has an occasion that you will miss a service, one or two. But there are some who you can bet on them. They will miss about two every month. There are some. Please check anybody and see that. I maybe you are one of them. There are some who regularly, constant they will miss. No, you can bet on it. Constant they will miss. Out of four in a month, you are lucky if you get two. No, if you get two, you are lucky. And the two is beginning and end or sometime. They don't come two back to back. Is two. And ask them, where have you been? What are you doing? You will see nothing sensible, nothing important. I was working, doing my homework, preparing for exam. I don't want to say madness, but something madness. I don't want to say it. They miss their, or they are washing, or cooking, or cleaning, or dusting, which is not. Amen. 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 Tell your neighbor, look, if the Spirit is in you, it should be a lifelong change. Tell your neighbor, if the Spirit is in you, if you are changed, you are changed. If you are changed, you are changed. You don't change sometimes and unchange, then change, then go back to. No, it's not right. That is Gadara behavior. You behave like this, then you don't behave like this, then you behave like this. That is not how it is. Amen. A man with the devil coming to worship Jesus. I can do both. No, you shouldn't be able to do both. One should be so wrong to you, you can't do it. Hallelujah. Amen. But look at verse 5. And always, day and night, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This is a very interesting behavior of a man cutting himself with stones, hurting himself. You know, you would think that we should automatically try to protect ourselves. And that is how it seems. But that's not how it is. Because there are a lot of people who consciously or unconsciously, they are doing things that hurt themselves. And they may not see it immediately, but the effects and these things, it is always a gradual. Satan is not a fool to discourage you from day one. He will entice you to come in deeper and deeper before he does anything that will take you off course. But they are led to a place where gradually they discover that what I was doing has hurt me. Amen. Let me give you two examples in the Bible before I come to you yourself and what you are doing. The first example in the Bible is the prodigal son. The prodigal son who had a very comfortable life in a house where even the servants had food to eat. And there were fatted calves, there were golden coins. I mean, it was clearly a prosperous home, and he was living there. And then somehow he managed to end up in poverty, very poor, destitute, wearing rags, eating animal food, and down, very, very down in life. And listen, I can promise you that that was not his plan. That my plan is to go to a place where I'll be poor and desolate. That was not his plan. No. That was his. I'm sure his plan was, let me enjoy life small. Let me do well. That was his plan. But where he ended was terrible. Another man, I'll explain in a minute. Another man who also didn't end well was Samson. Samson was a great man. His birth was announced by angels. I don't think your birth, any angel came. I don't think that even your mother had a dream. Some of you crowd were annoyed when they heard that a pregnancy was coming. They said, another one again. What is this? They were even bored at your arrival. But it doesn't matter. God had determined you will come. So you came. Amen. But Samson also was happily welcomed into life. And then the Spirit of God moved in him. But at a point, Samson found himself blind and in prison, grinding corn. A man who could carry away gates found himself in a prison. I mean, grind, and they used to grind corn, not with a corn mill, but manually, physically grinding corn. A man, he had fallen so low from that high place. And this morning, the common trait, are you listening? The common trait between these two men, which brought them down so low, was this. They refused advice. Samson, look at Samson. Judges 14 and verse 3. Look at what Samson. Samson, a nice man, a nice Israelite. He says, I have seen a woman among the Philistines And he said, I want to marry her. And his father said, look at what his father said. But surely there is a woman from the Israelites you can marry. I mean, why are you going to marry from outside? Do you have to marry a woman from the Philistines? Their men are not even circumcised. This is your father advising you. And what did Samson say? Now, get her for me. This is the one I want. Look at your neighbor, ask him, can you be advised? No, ask your neighbor. No, the prodigal son, do you think that when he came to tell his daddy, I want to go, they said, get money and go? No. I am sure everybody spoke. That's why his brother was angry that this boy has wasted your money on prostitutes and other. We spoke to him. We said, don't go. We spoke to him, told him what to do. And he said, no, I'll go. And he went. And look at what became of him. One of the greatest problems that people face, especially young people, but it's all people, that people face is that they refuse advice. They refuse advice, that they decide, I will do what I will do. I will do, my mind is made up. Proverbs 22, my mind is made up. This is what I'm going to do. And nobody can change. Ask your neighbor, can nobody change your mind? No, I ask you, please, tap me on the shoulder. I say, are you the one that you are like, my mind is made up. When I decide, I decide. Is that how you are? No. Tell somebody, you must be malleable. You must be changeable. Somebody must be able to speak to you, and what you had planned to do, you won't do it again. Because you must say, I don't trust my own plans. It must be clear to you that I don't trust my own plans. My own plans can easily fail me. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Is the screen working? It's working somehow. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. If you are a child, do you know we are all children? One day when I was much older, I went and spoke to my mom. She called me, she was talking. I said, listen, mom, don't worry again. I'm now grown. I have 3 children that I'm taking care of myself. So don't worry, relax. You know what she told me? She said, you are forever a child. Then you will never grow up. You will never grow up. You are forever a child. I said, hey, so yes. And ask any mother. It's true. No matter how old you are. One day I went for a funeral, I think sometime last year, some people, one of them was 70. The other was, they were my contemporaries. Their younger son was my contemporary. So their older sons were older. So the younger one was 65, 66. Then the other one was something about 5 brothers. I went for their funeral. Do you know whose funeral it was? Their mother. At that age, their mother was alive. 72, 73. The mother was alive. Yeah. Yes, mommy. You are 72. When they call, you say, yes, mommy. And you are 32. You are saying what? 72 is saying yes, mommy. 65 say yes, mommy. When they call you, you say yes, you are coming. And so tell your neighbor, this scripture applies to you. Please add your finger to your neighbor. Tell them this scripture. Foolishness. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is in your heart. Many of us, you have some crazy ideas that are in your mind. I mean, as you are sitting here, something will come. Let me go and do this. Let me go and do this. Because foolishness is in your heart. It is there. It's not that you are a fool. No, you're not a fool. But there's foolishness in your heart. And it comes up once in a while to show itself that, hey, I'm here. Oh. Then it goes down again. Yeah. Then it goes down again. That's you guys are walking around quite a bit. What's happening over there? Next week, lock this door. Finish. You all go out the long way. Then all this back and forth. Foolishness is the heart of a child. There's some in this corner here. There's some in that corner. Amen. No, so look at 23:19. It says what? Hear thou, my son, be wise and guide thine heart. One of the best ways to escape trouble is to receive advice. Amen. That somebody will guide you and help you to escape all the hazards on the road. So ask your neighbor, who can advise you or who advises you? Please ask him. Tell him, hold his shirt, hold his dress, hold it, look behind you, hold her shirt, and ask her please, I beg you, tell me who can advise you? Who can tell you what to do? Even more serious, who can stop you when you are doing something foolish? Who can stop you? Who can put a brake on you? You find that many people, they are unstoppable. The madman of Gadara, no one could tame him. No one could change his mind. I'm doing what I'm going to do. Tell somebody from today, be different. Amen. And you see, you I'm coming to the point for today. The reason why this message is relevant today, because it is a miracle when a young person can be advised and he will change his mind. It happens so rare. It doesn't happen at all. It's so rare. It's so seldom. There are so many people who are so stubborn and so made up in their hearts and their minds. Nobody can change their mind. Nobody can talk to them. So when you see somebody who they speak to him, change your dressing, change your hairstyle, change your behavior, change your friends, and they hear this advice and they change, it's a miracle. I tell you, it's a miracle. It is shocking to see so many people don't change. Some time ago, I said that I am now becoming selective on those I talk to. Because many who I spoke to, they didn't listen to me. Teresa. They as if I was a fool. And no, that's how it is. When you say something wise and they don't listen to it, you look like a fool. I said, what was saying was totally foolish and not to be considered. So at a point, I said, listen, let me now reserve my words for a few select people. And the Lord said, if he was to do the same, who is left? We are foolish. If the Lord was to also keep his wisdom for the few good people, what about all of us? We would never have a chance. So he said, he too, he speaks, and he said, my hands are stretched out all day long to a people who don't mind me. So you to be like me, speak and they won't mind you. I said, I hear. I will speak and they won't mind me. So I keep on talking and you mind me. It doesn't matter. Like today, I'm speaking and you mind me. Yeah. Amen. But it is one of the greatest miracles that you who are of age, somebody can come from outside somewhere and speak to you and you will change. They will say stop and you will really stop. You will really stop. They will say come and you will really come. They will say, change your dressing. Don't wear this dress again. And you will really not wear the dress again. And you not say in your head, who buy the dress? You, me, or I mean, who born you? Are you? Do you know what's going on? No. Are you listening? It's a real miracle. It is a great sign of God working that a young man or a young woman can be advised and he will take it. It's a great sign. Oh, yes. But all this is introduction. Verse 15. This is the greatest miracle. This one, verse 15. The man was mad, living in the tombs, breaking fetters, crying and cutting himself. No one could tame him. People were afraid of him. This is the man living in that area. Look at verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. They're telling you who it was, the madman who was possessed with 7,000 demons. And what? They saw him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were shocked. And they were surprised. And they were amazed. Sitting. Amen. This is maybe one of the greatest miracles that we can experience. And that is my prayer for today. That in the midst of all the troubles and all the issues going on now, you can be seated, calm and cool somewhere and in your right mind. Amen. You can be, maybe the best word is at peace. At peace. Because there's so much, look, pressure and stress. No, it's a lot. You know, recently I read somewhere, and I'm sure they will agree with me, that sometimes we think that children don't know what stress is. They say children have their own stress. Yeah, ours is different, but theirs is. They also have a stress. Or it's not true. They have their own stress. Maybe it's exam stress or peer pressure stress. Or I don't have white shoes. All my friends have white shoes. I don't have some. It's a stress. Every time they all wear white, I'm wearing my gray one. It's a stress. I'm aware of it. Everybody, it's a stress. Everybody has a stress of some kind. Amen. And many people have different issues. I mean, somebody is there, I want to marry. Somebody is married, I don't want to marry again. Somebody has children, I don't want children. Somebody don't want children, I want children. So people are never happy with their situation. Can you imagine that? Those who don't have money want money. Those who have money want more money. Those who have more money are angry at their children who don't respect them. And life is complicated. Life is complicated. There's almost a negative to everything that is going on in life. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is why this morning, are you listening? Yes. One of the greatest miracles that you can experience is that you will have peace. You will have peace. You will not be disturbed. You will not be worried. When there's money, what did Paul say? I can do all things. I can abound. I can abase. I can have much. I can have little. That is one of the... You see, you think that let God arise and send me money. And let God give me a car. And let God give me a house and things. No, that is a miracle. When you who don't have a job, you get a car. It's a great miracle. But there's also another miracle where you don't have anything. You don't have money, you don't have income, don't have anything, but yet still, in that situation, you are at peace. Amen. Yet still, in that time where there's so much tension, pressure happening around you, you are not disturbed. You are able to be cool and calm and sit down. Hallelujah. Amen.
And some will think that you don't care. I care. I don't know. I know. You don't have any worries. I have plenty of worries. But in that situation, you are able. Listen to me. You are able to be cool and calm and very, very, very self-contained. It doesn't make sense. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Let me show you. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us go over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. But he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and said unto him, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, this story is often, we all know this story. Jesus was in the storm, and all the disciples were panicking. We're about to die. We are in deep trouble. And he was asleep. And they woke him up. And when they woke him, he rose up. I don't know how he slept in that storm. But he slept. And there was water in the ship. But he was asleep. He must have been very tired. And he slept. And then they woke him up. And then when he woke up and he saw the storm and everything, he just healed it, calmed the sea and calmed everything. That was a miracle. But what he said was to me even more wonderful, because before he had come, he was asking them, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is that you have no faith? I mean, this is, he was asking them, why did you wake me up? Why are you shouting and screaming, we are going to die? What? Ask him, why are you so disturbed by things around him, around you? Because in that situation, he said, you must be able to relax and be calm. You don't have to rise up and panic and just be disturbed. What's happening? Just be calm. Amen. You want a miracle of Jesus healing calming the waves, calming the oceans? He can do that. But he can also make another miracle that you, in this same situation, are not disturbed. Daniel, chapter 3. Let's look at it. Let's look at Daniel chapter 3. The king made a statue. Then he said that when I play my musical instruments, everybody should bow down to worship the statue. But these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they said, no, we will not. We will not. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornets, flutes, harp, sackbuts, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, that means good for you. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.
And who is that God that shall deliver thee out of my hands? You know, ask your neighbor, if it was you with this ultimatum, what would you do? What would you do? You say, listen, let me worship small. When I get up, I'll repent. Let me bow small. What would you do? Many of us, we would be, or like, we'll just begin to say, we'll even try to resist the soldiers trying to throw us in. But not the three boys. They said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "Oh, king, we are not careful. We don't need to explain these things to you. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be, are you listening? This is the miracle that you must have today. That no matter your situation, your condition, you will not change." I said, you will not change. Because sometimes you find that circumstances change you so easily. Why should an exam make you stop church? No, an exam tomorrow, not even this evening. And I mean, tomorrow is a whole 24 hours away. Pardon? Oh, they'll hear me. They heard me. Why should a pressure make you, why should lack of money make you follow a man? No, why should you begin quarreling in the house over, how come you can't handle tension and pressure peacefully and coolly? Why can't you just let everything happen as it will? Just be there. I have no money. It's not a problem. Haven't you fasted before? I have no money, and I don't have money. I don't have a new dress. It's a wedding. I don't have a new dress. And so what? Wear the same old one again. They will know. And so what? Do I owe anybody money? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us. But if not, if God, no, tell somebody, if God doesn't see fit to deliver me from this situation, I'll be inside it. I'll be inside it. If God doesn't think that I need to be delivered from where I am, I'll be inside it. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. I'll be inside it. This is where I am. What did Jesus say? He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. That is a situation that you will have in this world. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. But he said what? I give you peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. This morning, one of the greatest miracles that can take place in your life is that nothing can disturb you. Nothing can shake you. Nothing can derail you. Nothing can make you change course from where you are. It should not be possible that something can make, you know, even rain shouldn't keep you from church. I didn't hear an amen this morning. One of what I still can't explain is this generation where you should be bused to church. But I accept it because that's the generation that we are born to it. I know, when I was your age, I was bused to church. Ha. Ha. If we have to walk, we knew by Saturday night, you know the money you have. There's no surprise. So by Saturday morning, you know how you are going to church, either by taxi or trotro or by walking. So in the morning, you know what it takes to get to where you are going. Nobody must come and collect you to go to church. Nobody must, are you listening? Nobody, all of us on our own, we go to church. Nobody, even we will say, meet me at the junction, then we go together. That's that is the one who is weak. Meet me at the junction, then we go together. Because otherwise, we'll meet at church. We'll meet at church. Hallelujah. But how can circumstances shake that resolve? How come you're not able to follow Jesus, follow him consistently without changing or without breaking or without undoing something? And it's because of the plenty demons and wizards and spirits that are operating in our circumstances. Hallelujah. But this morning, I want to pray for a miracle. Are you here this morning? I want to pray for a miracle. And that miracle, nothing can disturb my peace. Nothing can disturb my peace. Yeah. From this morning, decide that I will serve the Lord. Are you listening to me? I will serve the Lord this morning. I mean, the madman was found sitting down peacefully at peace. No. Nothing can disturb me again. And let somebody ask you, why are you not disturbed? Let somebody be looking at you and wonder, you don't have money, you don't have this, you are 39, 42, you don't have a husband, you are this, you don't have this. I can see all the missing things in your life. Why are you not disturbed? Why are you not disturbed? Why? I hear this morning, somebody can look at you and say, you don't have a job and you have all these things. Why are you not disturbed? And then you tell them that, God, I have Jesus. I have Jesus. That's all. I don't have... We have an exam tomorrow. Look, tell somebody, you are very some way. If an exam will make you change your church, your godly behavior, that you're going to rely on yourself in the exam and not on God, you are very some way. It is God who is at work in us. Hallelujah. This one, I want somebody to, and the reason why people react to these things among us is a fear of whatever it is. No. From today, may you never be shaken again inside you. From today, like the madman who was sitting peacefully, may you never let any circumstance, never let any occasion make you shake and undo your foundations that you have in God, in Jesus, in church, in your faith. May nothing ever shake it. Amen. This morning, you want to stand to your feet. Doesn't matter what you're up against. It doesn't matter what obstacles you have to face, be it financial, social, academic, personal. It doesn't matter. Let there be that calm assurance that God is in control. Let there be that knowing that God will take care of you. Hallelujah. May there be no mountain too high. Yesterday I was listening to the prophet, and he said that in this life, Jesus said it, in this world, in this life, you will have tribulations. There will be challenges. There are mountains. No country is flat like a paper. No, there are always hills and mountains all around us. Yes. But we'll pass over every one of them. We will conquer every single one of them. None of them will be an obstacle that will keep you away from your destination. And what it is Jesus has there are two things. Jesus has the power to bring down every mountain. He has the power to flatten every obstacle, to quench the flames and to still the lions. He has that power.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.